Hello and welcome to Banking on Information. Today with me is Igor Pejic, the author of the books Blockchain Babel and Big Tech in Finance, How to Prevail in the Age of Blockchain, Digital Currencies, and Web3. Igor, welcome on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, let's start with that very important first question based on the book by Simon Sinek. Start with why. Why, Igor, do you do what you do?
That's a good question, but let me answer that in two parts. So first part is, why am I working on tech and the money business? And second thing is, why I'm writing books about this? Because I think it's two separate but strongly connected questions. The first one is, well, basically, I spend my entire professional life working at the intersection of technology and finance, and I relish it, right? Why was that? Because I think we're blessed to live in an age where we have technological progress, not just accelerating, but it's accelerating exponentially, right? So we don't have any more these long timeframes in between innovations. And it's also not just one technological trajectory, but it's multiple of them. So you see things like AI, blockchain, also other areas, non-digital areas, and they're all advancing extremely rapidly. And they're also feeding off each other. So it's very difficult to forecast what will happen. So it's highly interesting. And I'm not just talking, as I said, about digital technologies, but it's also things like gen tech, biotech, satellites, the new space race, new ways to harness energy. So I think really that exploration is kind of the essence of the human spirit. And that's why I'm very interested in finding out what will happen, what the new technological potentials would bring, and how we will what we will make out of them. That's not just a professional interest or personal interest in the topic, but it's also the fact that if we look at the history of technology, it has always had a tremendously good impact on the human condition and human life, right? I think that it's just some very important trends that we're living through, and I'd like to do a small contribution to it. But you might ask, why not be just working on it in a company? Why not be a founder? Why not be an innovator? Why talk about it all the time? Why write articles? And especially, why write books in such a fast-paced environment, such a fast-paced time as today? Because technology is literally changing every day, and yet you have publishing with very long cycles. Well, quite frankly, because I believe that, again, if you look at the history of technology, there have been so many groundbreaking technologies invented, and oftentimes they have been there for a very long time until they actually made a difference. And why? Because it takes people to act on those technologies to materialize the potential that they deliver. And I think that one way to make those entrepreneurs or managers or whoever understand what the technology is and where the future is headed to is by books. I think that books are really the best way to learn of new technology, and it's quite simply the fact that you have to spend so much time and invest all of your cognitive resources and all of your time for multiple hours. You're just trying to understand one aspect or one technology, and that's quite frankly extremely important. And I think that this is in particular important in an age of social media that's extremely fast-paced. You have oftentimes rather shallow information, but also an age where you have many, many very good resources, right? Excellent articles, excellent reporting, and great in-depth analyses. But still, I think that the book as a medium is the best way to have this calm introspection, to learn about the complex new thing, which a technology is. And it's not just the technology, as I said, but also its implication in the real life. So that's why I believe that books are so essential, even though sometimes they're forgotten in our discussion, especially about technology.
Yeah, no, that is great. So you are passionate about innovation, not just at the intersection of financial services and technology, but just broadly. And then you are a teacher. You like to teach people things. You like to do that through the medium of writing a book and actually putting it down on paper, which I appreciate that you take that time to do that. So that is great. Thank you for sharing your why. Now, how in the book, like what are you talking about in the book? How do people learn from what you're writing down? Tell us a little bit about the Big Tech in Finance book that you've just released.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So the way I see it, or the way I hope that, that my readers will see it, that, you know, they spend maybe $20 to $30, but they get a whole bunch of what a research team would do and also what a management consultant would do for that thing. Well, basically, Big Tech in Finance, like blockchain Babble, is on the one hand a strategic consideration. So I look at a certain trend in financial services that is connected to innovation. In this case, the entry of data giants and IT giants in general into the financial services world, and not just the entry, but also the expansion of what they're doing.
Yep.
But I don't just stop with my own analyses, but I also interviewed dozens and dozens of experts, and not just any expert. It was really some of the top-notch thinkers on that issue, and whether that be bankers, whether that be entrepreneurs or politicians, regulators. Mm-hmm. So it has been a very, very wide range of them, very wide range of perspectives, also contrasting perspectives. And basically, I try to tell, on the one hand, the story of all of the opportunities that companies like Google, Apple, Amazon bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, they are perhaps the biggest scalers of technology out there. But on the other hand, I also show that it is, on the one hand, a danger to commercial banks or to other companies, whoever is in the business of in a business that will or might be disrupted by those huge and hugely impactful players. Yeah. But on the other hand, it's also a consideration of more systemic risks, right? What could it mean to financial stability if all of a sudden billions of people flock to, let's say, the Libra coin that Facebook tried to introduce? So it's kind of a balanced approach to see what's the upside, what's the potential downside, and how do we manage this? How do we take take advantage of the good things, whereas try to reduce the systemic dangers that we have?
Yeah. Now, what would you say are like the top two takeaways that people should learn from the book? Now, obviously, you don't want to give it away all, but like, what are sort of like the top two nuggets that you can share with us here?
Definitely. So I think one nugget of information would definitely be, let's say, one lesson that you would learn from the book would be that Big Tech in the past has already entered all kinds of industries, in particular the financial industry, on the wings of new technologies. And of course, everybody knows Apple Pay and Google Pay. Mm-hmm. In China, we have the same, even much more pronounced with Alipay and WeChat Pay and so on. So they're trying to enter the payment business on the wings of mobile, contactless, wallets, all of these related technologies. While at the same time, those are technologies that are maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, depending on you know, which area you're talking to, which geographic area you're talking about. And now they are trying to do the same thing with blockchain, with AI, with digital assets. And this time, I think changes could be much, much more profound, because in the past, what you had is they focused on payments, they focused on the customer interface. Now, with those more transformational technologies, they could theoretically address any area, any segment of finance on the one hand, and they could also hollow out the entire value chain. And the second thing is, second lesson, what can be done about it, right? It's not easy to compete with an Amazon or a Microsoft or whoever.
Yep.
And I believe that you have to ride the waves of technological progress as well. And one concept that I introduce in the book is the super money engine, which basically means that you're capable of handling all types of assets and not just, you know, holding them, but also staking them, swapping them, selling them. So doing processing them in all kinds of ways. And this is kind of the solution of how do you succeed in tomorrow's world, despite those very big and very strong competitors.
Yeah, well, that's a great bridge. Tomorrow's world, you mentioned that. I always like to do this thing called futures thinking. Obviously, we don't know what the future is going to bring, but we can think about it and we can describe what we think is a possible future. So I would love for you to do that. And I think this is right in your wheelhouse. Think 10 years out. We're in 2034. What does the world look like? What do big tech companies, what does finance look like? Give me an idea of what your thoughts are, what a possible future could look like.
Yeah, so 10 years from now, that's definitely a highly interesting point in time, because I would say 5 years, it's quite easy to have a forecast With 10 years, it gets really difficult because we humans are very poor in judging exponential growth, right? So we tend to underestimate what will happen in the long run.
Yep.
And it's really difficult to do so if you have a panoply of technologies, because as I mentioned, they feed off each other, they impact each other. So if we look only at blockchain and digital assets, because I think this is something that you can answer with a little bit more, let's say a little bit more certainty. I think the major trend that stands out to me is that we will live in a multi-asset world. So people come up to me all the time and ask, you know, will Bitcoin take over the financial system, or will central banks issue CBDCs and everything else will be gone, or is Bitcoin and crypto just a hype and a fad and will go away? And the answer is neither, right? So we will have a world in which all of those assets are coexisting. We will have cryptocurrencies, we'll have central bank digital currencies, we'll have traditional cash, we will have private stable coins, so which are blockchain-based currencies pegged to a fiat currency. We'll have so-called deposit tokens issued by licensed banks. So there will be all these kinds of assets, and also the non-fungible assets. And I don't necessarily mean pixelated pictures or metaverse land. I mean traditional financial assets put on a blockchain, things like IP, commercial exploitation rights, but also things like securities, bonds, commercial real estate, but also for a more mainstream customer, it could be his own apartment or a house that I put in a decentralized protocol and use it as collateral to get a loan. So I think these are all things that will happen. So we will have multiple assets and they will be merging with each other. And that's why I mentioned earlier, the super money engine, whoever builds this first and is among the first and most successful to scale it, I think has a very, very good chance of ending up at the top of tomorrow's financial world.
Yeah. So you're almost there already with the answer to my next question, which is kind of like, okay, if we do backcasting, if we see that future of all these different assets, both sort of on-chain and off-chain, what do we need to do today to get ready for that possible future that you were describing?
So it depends from which perspective you're looking at. I think the most critical is probably the regulator. That's where we have or we could run into very significant, also systemically important issues, right? If I have a mass of people, as I just mentioned, putting their apartment in the protocol, losing their houses, what happens, right? We don't have any regulatory clarity. Is this something that would hold up in courts? What happens if too many people do this? We have a liquidity crisis. So there's a lot of regulatory things we need to clarify first. And the second thing is, of course, you need to build the technical capabilities. But that's kind of difficult at the moment because not everywhere do we have very clear regulation. I have good reason to believe that it will, in the US in particular, it will change in the next couple of years, or hopefully even months. But I think regulation is really the number one issue that's kind of holding big investments back.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get more clarity on regulation soon. That's probably a great point to wrap up on. So thank you very much, Igor, for sharing your wealth of knowledge and looking into the future together. Where can people find your book?
Basically everywhere where you get your good books. Amazon, of course, or you can go to your Barnes & Noble and all of the other big and small booksellers, they should all have it, or at least be able to order it.
Perfect. So wherever you get your books, go there and find Igor's book, Big Tech in Finance, How to Prevail in the Age of Blockchain, Digital Currencies, and Web3. Thank you so much, Igor, for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
And until next time, choose to be curious.